This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Be thankful I don't take it all. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Oh yeah, a little bit of tax man for you, but from the Beatles. You know, you do start thinking about paying taxes, don't you, as you get kind of towards the end of January. You know, all those forms start coming in from where you work and the bank and everything. And I don't know about you, I put them in an envelope, and I put the envelope somewhere hidden so I don't have to look at it for a while. And then about mid-March, I start worrying about it. Anyway, good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Monday, January the, do I have this right, Ed? What is the date today? The 18th? Yes, it is. The 18th. Didn't have it written down. But it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And we all think about the great Reverend King on this day. It is his birthday. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Adam Thierer of George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And we're going to talk about the great deplatforming of conservative speech in 2021. So stay tuned for that. Also, 2 days to go now, you know, before Joe Biden is inaugurated. We're going to take a look at the agenda of Joe Biden. We're going to get some thoughts on this. And also the future of Donald Trump. What's he going to do now, right? Is he going to be back? We're going to get some thoughts on that from our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceraci. So stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. We may have the barber, Andrew, join us. He's on a mission of mercy right now. We'll see if he can make it. And also, despite an expected hike in illegal immigration, remember, you know, Joe Biden and the Democrats, they talk constantly about allowing people to come in for various reasons. Right now, a Biden official says, not so fast. We have, I think, a caravan of Hondurans coming up, maybe about 1,000 or so. Not so fast. We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, it's football and the NFL, all right. How about the top 10 oldest Super Bowl quarterbacks ever to throw a football in that game? Now, that goes back all the way to 1967, so there's a lot of quarterbacks that threw footballs. We'll tell you who the top 10 oldest are. By the way, we're sponsored here at Freedom Works in part by Adam's. Adam is our guest, but Andrew's Master Barbershop. That's who sponsors us in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. You guys, the best haircutter for my money in Tampa Bay. You got to call for your appointment, 727-733-3773, Andrew's Master Barbershop, don't forget. Also, I hope you listen to Good Morning Clearwater, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Gosh, they're fun to listen to. Paul and Tracy Allen, let them start off your day. And by the way, if you need posters or banners or flyers or business cards, I tell you what, from personal experience, let me tell you, go to them. You can call them at 727-330-3212, 330-3212. All right. Well, two more days, and Joe Biden becomes president, much to the chagrin of a lot of Trump supporters. He's going to be apparently keeping very busy during the first days of his presidency. He's going to be doing a lot of executive orders. Among them, mask mandates. That'll go nowhere. You can't tell people whether or not they should wear a mask somewhere. The governors have more of a say in that than he does. Another executive decision may be striking down the travel ban on predominantly Muslim countries and having the United States rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. Now, be honest. Have you missed it one way or the other with the Paris Climate Accord? Has your life been any different because we were in or out of the Paris Climate Accord? Nobody even knows what we do in the Paris Climate Accord. Biden plans on signing a handful of other executive orders on his first day in office, according to his incoming chief of staff. By the way, we'll have to get used to the name Ron Klain. Ron Klain will be his chief of staff. One of the orders, a reversal of the travel ban, which first affected people from Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen, when it was implemented by Donald Trump when he took office in January 2017. You got to remember, we've been worrying, and back then we were particularly worried with all of the terrorist attacks that were going on all over the place involving these crazed Muslims that were doing them. Apparently, he's going to sign up to about a dozen executive orders. Remember how the Democrats were screaming at Donald Trump for executive orders? I'll tell you what. It depends on who's in office, right? That's exactly what it is. So, anyway, in he comes and out Mr. Trump goes. He will probably already be, by the time the inauguration is over, Donald Trump will probably already be in Florida, back in his Mar-a-Lago estate. And as far as Democrats are concerned, that's good riddance. Now, whether or not they're going to go ahead with an impeachment trial in the Senate is another, is a horse of a different color. Right now, they're not talking too much about whether Pelosi and the group is not talking too much about whether or not they want to proceed with a trial in the Senate. You know, all of a sudden, when push comes to shove, I don't think there's going to be a trial. I think they're just going to let this thing fritter away like they do so many other things in Washington. You know, the best way to sometimes deal with the situation is to ignore it. And I got a hunch that's what's going to happen. I mean, what are you going to do when the guy is gone, you know?
Are you going to watch the ceremonies on Wednesday night?
Probably for a few minutes I'll watch it. I want to see if Biden can get through. You know, you have to repeat the swearing in. I want to see if he's able to do that. He'll need a teleprompter. There'll probably be a teleprompter behind the Supreme Court judge, but you never know. Yeah, I'll watch some of it. What about you?
No. I've scheduled a few entertaining stuff. I've two root canals and a colonoscopy.
Well, yeah, well, those would be a little bit more enjoyable. Yeah. I understand that. I don't know how many people are really going to watch this guy. I'm more interested in his holding a legitimate press conference, if you want to know
at least 25,000 are going to watch it. At least 25,000, because that's how many troops are there, and they're forced to watch it.
I'm afraid so. Wouldn't it be funny if, like, some of these police officers do with mayors they don't like, if they all turn their back?
Well, we said Friday they should take a knee.
Now, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Now, that would be interesting. I wonder how that would work out. My goodness me. Yeah, there are going to be a lot of other things to watch. Hey, by the way, a little bit later, Ed, you and I will talk a little bit about, our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they pulled that thing off in New Orleans, but we'll talk about that later. In the meantime, we're going to talk about deplatforming in 2021 with Adam Thierer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. We are back on Freedom Works on a Monday, and delighted to have Adam Thierer join us. He is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center, and he penned a piece in Discourse magazine last week, The Great Deplatforming of 2021. Adam, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. I'm getting very concerned, Adam, maybe even a little bit worried and scared about where we are going with free speech in this country, with what has happened to Donald Trump, but not only Donald Trump, but for a lot of conservatives. And, of course, now along with all of the services like Twitter and Facebook, I guess, and Instagram censoring Donald Trump. And I believe some others are also being taken off if they dare say some things that might be interpreted as, I don't know what you would call it. And then we've got, what, Parler? That platform being cut down with some of these huge tech companies. What is going on, my friend? What is going on here?
Well, large social media platforms are in a really difficult position of being expected to be the arbiters of truth, taste, and civil virtue in modern society. A lot of politicians, a lot of more vociferous individuals are making it difficult to figure out what should be allowed on these platforms. Twitter and Facebook started off being very, very open to almost any type of speech, but very, very quickly it turned out to be a really nasty situation where there was a lot of hateful things, a lot of really, in some cases, racist things and other awful types of speech and content being floated, and they had to take more content moderation steps. So now they're being expected to strike this sort of Goldilocks formula of getting things just right to make everybody happy on every side of the political spectrum, and that's just simply an impossible task to strike that balance. The situation has escalated because President Trump has used Twitter so effectively to communicate his message and been at times, of course, so contentious with that message that he raised a lot of ire from people, and therefore these companies finally took steps when it came to the January 6th riots on Capitol Hill.
Yes. And we don't know how much of any of this on on the internet contributed to people breaking into the Capitol building. I guess now they're saying that the whole thing was even possibly planned by a certain group of people that got over there. So we don't know for sure. And we're always running up against our free, the idea of being able to speak freely in this country. And we always worry that if we start cutting back on the ability of one side or another to echo their viewpoints, that we start trending towards some of the countries that we remember in Eastern Europe and Russia and Germany and the whole bit years back. You know, we've got all of that going on. And now we got this Parler. Now, I don't get on these conversational platforms, so I didn't know anything about Parler at all. Apparently, it was more of a haven, I guess, for conservative thought. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. It was basically set up in opposition to what many conservatives felt was the over-moderation happening at Twitter and Facebook in particular of right-of-center speech. And so that's great. You know, Parler was able to create an alternative platform. The problem is that by boasting of being an unmoderated, wide-open space for free speech, there were unfortunately some people or organizations that abused that privilege to post some really awful content. And I'm not just talking about stuff that's, you know, you can debate what is hate speech, what is racist speech, but there were people throwing child pornography and a variety of other types of awful content on that site, and Parler wasn't equipped to deal with it. And this is what Twitter and Facebook have faced over the last decade, is how do you grow up and be a big open platform for a huge diversity of people, not just in the United States, but across the globe. And again, this is why I get back to that impossible task, what I call that Goldilocks formula, that elusive formula of figuring out, how do we get it just right to create a community standard for the world? Well, I don't know how I'd do it. I mean, how would you do it? This is a hard question.
It is. I'd like to know why they banned Donald Trump.
Well, they banned Donald Trump.
I mean, what were the words that kicked the banning of the president of the United States? He certainly has a right to say he thought the election was rigged. There's no there's no right to ban somebody from saying that. When he said that he was not going to attend the inauguration, that was actually used as one of the excuses for taking him off. Now that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Well, I mean, look, he is the president of the United States. He has a lot of platforms to speak on. He does not have, in my opinion, a right to speak on Twitter or Facebook. These are private platforms. They have property rights and editorial discretion under the First Amendment.
But don't hide behind something when that's not the reason you're taking him off. And I think a lot of these guys that run these things are left of center, far left of center in some cases, and that's fine. And they have a right to create a machine that people can either use or not use. That's fine, too. And they can set the rules.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. And let's be clear that this has been a problem for a long time. I mean, the accusations of liberal media bias go way, way back to the age of traditional analog radio and television broadcasting when that ruled the roost. And you know, there was some truth to these accusations. I don't deny them today, and I didn't deny them back then. I've been covering these issues for over 30 years now, and I've seen these same arguments percolate again and again. And the better argument or answer to this, in my opinion, is, well, what do you want to do about it? I think the answer is you want to create more platforms. Mm-hmm. You want to create more opportunities. And so the good news is for conservatives or right-of-center voices, today there really are more soapboxes to stand on and preach to the world than ever before in history. Certainly when I was a young man in the 60s and 70s growing up, you know, you were lucky if you could get any time on radio or television, right? You'd have to beg for it, and good luck getting your local newspaper unless it was a letter to the editor. After that, you were stuck handing out pamphlets in town square, sounding like a crazy person, right? And today, every man, woman, and child could create their own site, their own website. There's nothing stopping Donald Trump, and certainly he'll do this, from going on and starting this whole television station or media empire tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, it does come down to money, but he's got money. So I have a hard time feeling too sorry for Donald Trump, given how effectively he's utilized these platforms and how there's more platforms than ever before and new ones yet to be created.
Oh, yeah. No, we want the ability of these companies to make decisions as to whether or not how they're being used. However, Parler is out there as an example. Now they're being censored, and even let's be honest, all of the other platforms or companies that Parler is able or needs to use to be able to get its voice out. They're kind of, there's almost a conspiracy going on. And that's where we run into some trouble here when some of the other bigwigs figure out a way to shut down Parler. So their Parler's free speech is being infringed on in certain ways. And that's true. And it's not that easy to just, you say, we'll open up your own, it's not so easy to open up your own. The internet, in some ways, has to be regulated because it's just like the television and radio, federal communications commissions. I mean, certain people get access and certain people don't, and they had to set rules.
Well, and that led us to the world of the Fairness Doctrine on very heavy-handed types of content controls back in the analog era when radio and television broadcasting were dominant. And that did not play out well, and it specifically did not play out well for conservatives. And finally, it was because of a conservative backlash during the Reagan years and then led by Rush Limbaugh and others in the late 80s, early 90s, that we repealed the Fairness Doctrine and started loosening government content controls over broadcast radio and television.
Right.
Well, flash forward 30 years, and now we're having a debate about should we resurrect that model for the internet? I think that's a mistake.
I agree.
The real censor that we should be worried about, of course, is the government, because they have coercive controls. But you're right. We don't want these private large platforms to just be so casual about kicking people off or deplatforming or canceling them. We need to try to hold them to higher standards. But the question is, should the higher standard be a regulatory one where we basically say, you're giving up your property rights or your First Amendment rights, your editorial discretion to determine who is on your soapbox and isn't?
Yeah.
And I don't want that.
Adam, let me give you a thought on the allowance or disallowance of people to use your service. If, let's say, one of the big-name actors gets on television and says, I'd like to punch Trump right in the nose. This is on television on a talk show, right? Or say another one says, he stands up in front of a group and he says, have you ever thought about assassinating Trump? Should those people be, should they be censored off of these platforms when they say those kinds of things or not?
I think these are cases where they're instigating.
You know that things occur, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely, I do.
Okay.
And sometimes there were people who turned a blind eye to them, and yeah, but I know where you're going next.
So
with
it's
it.
All, so
Isn't
it's okay.
This hypocritical?
It's okay if it depends on whose ox is being gored is what's happening. So okay, so why don't these guys that run all of these platforms admit that they're biased, rather than saying, well, we caught Donald Trump saying this, or we caught saying this. That's not the reason. That's not. Don't use that as your excuse. Say, look, it's my show, and I'll do it the way I want. And be honest
about
it.
I hate it when people are hypocrites as well as just as much as you do, and certainly there are some people who lead these companies that probably do dislike Donald Trump quite strongly and maybe lean left of center. And maybe they and their employees are trying to stack the decks against the conservatives. I would say, after all of those considerations, still the better option is to not take away their property rights or their First Amendment rights to make these determinations, but to seek out more alternative platforms. Now, the better argument I think you made is about Parler, because the problem with what happened with Parler is that it was completely cut out at the infrastructure level of the internet. It basically went dark because a number of companies, including Amazon, shut down their hosting ability to have their services hosted on their platforms. That is the equivalent of a digital death sentence. And it really is angering that some of these companies support that when they also support the idea of net neutrality regulation, which would have regulated other companies' ability to do this exact
Correct.
Same thing. So we've got people that no doubt are talking out of both sides of their mouths. But that doesn't mean two wrongs make a right. And I'm not going to join them in a crusade to have Uber, net neutrality regulation, Uberalis, or Fairness Doctrine resurrection. I'm going to say, let's take the First Amendment and property rights seriously. Let's double down on building alternative platforms. And then let's try to hold these people more accountable to be more transparent about their policies or their positions they're taking. But that still doesn't mean I want the Federal Communications Commission to become the Federal Internet Commission and police all this.
Yeah, I think you make an excellent point. And I want to see that too. I don't want to see these companies stifled. In fact, I still see the internet as the great Wild West, where they're still learning how to handle it. It's still like a bucking bronco, isn't it? You're still trying to you're still trying to figure out how to ride this thing. And
I think that's right.
Yeah, so that's good. In a way, I kind of like it that way. I mean, that, you know, we're learning and coming and going with it. And hopefully, you know, as time goes by, there will be more of these platforms like you're talking about, and more choices, which is exactly right. That's the way to do it. If we can just figure out a way to make it easy to get these other platforms up and running, you know, without being stopped. And you bring that in, without being stopped by some of the others.
Here's the good news. Just last week, following the takedown of Parler and Mr. Trump's deplatforming on Twitter and Facebook, we saw the single biggest week of growth in alternative communications media platforms downloaded on Apple and Google app stores. These were services like, these are called Signal, MeWe, Gab, Telegram, and the list goes on. So that's encouraging. The downside, however, is that they're not as big as Twitter and Facebook, right? I mean, the problem that I think a lot of people have is that if you're deplatformed by one of the biggest dogs, it's like saying in the old days, well, you're no longer allowed to watch ABC, NBC, or CBS. That would have been really, really troubling because they were the big three, right? And today the big three are basically Facebook, Apple, Google, Twitter is actually make four. And so, you know, if you get deplatformed there, you've lost a significant voice. And so we need to try to figure out how to scale up alternative platforms in an effective way to give people voice somewhere else besides those sites. Because, I mean, I don't want these sites taken down. I lost my Parler account last week when it was deplatformed. I had an account there. I don't like that. And you know what? Most companies don't want to do this. They want to make money. They want to host more people. So good. The good news is there's not a big incentive. There's not a big incentive for them to just willy-nilly throw everybody off the service. Generally speaking, they want to keep people around.
No, that's a good point.
We just need to make sure we have the right balance of standards to make sure to hold them accountable to what their standard will be going forward.
Adam, it's been a delight talking with you. Very, very interesting conversation. I hope we can do this again down the road.
Absolutely. Anytime, I'd be happy to.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Adam Thierer.
Bye-bye.
Indeed. Adam Thierer from George Mason University's Mercatus Center. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, 2 days to go before the Biden presidency, God forbid, we're going to take a look at his agenda through the eyes of our guy in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi.
This magic moment, so different and so new, was like any other. Until I kiss you, and then it happens.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. And as we said, two more days, Joe Biden becomes the president. I suspect on that same day, Mr. Trump, who's not going to attend the inauguration, will be well on his way back to Mar-a-Lago in Florida. We're delighted to have our Eye in the Northern Sky join us this morning, Angelo Ceresti. And we're going to get a little bit of perspective as we enter the last couple of days of the Donald Trump presidency. Angelo, welcome back. Do you think there is going to be an impeachment trial of Donald Trump?
Yeah, it seems like they're pushing for it. I mean, what's his name there? Mitch McConnell's telling everybody, vote your conscience, you know?
Yeah.
And they're really pushing for it.
So
he had the 10 Republicans who vote for him to be impeached. So I think they feel that Donald Trump is a thorn on their side, and then they're afraid that he wants to run again in 2024.
You think he will?
I don't know. If I were him, I would say not. I couldn't. I mean, you know, the guy never took a pay. He did all these things for the American people, and they still didn't appreciate what he did. Even his own party. In fact, the other day, the Republican National Committee called my house because I would donate, you know, to the RNC. And
right.
I told them, I says, well, you're not going to get a dime from me until you get these 10 Republicans to resign or become a different party, especially that Liz Cheney.
The infamous 10.
The infamous 10. I says, you'll never get a dime from me. Don't ever bother calling me again. Because I, you know, in fact, I'm really thinking about leaving the Republican Party if they do this.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
I'll just become an independent.
That would be a shock. That would be a shock. I mean, what would your brother say?
I don't know.
I mean, well, although when you say independent, you wouldn't turn Democrat, obviously.
Hell no.
And your brother, in fact, has talked about Donald Trump. Let me put this, roll this by you as well. Andrew Ceresi, our master barber, has talked about whether or not Donald Trump might indeed run as an independent. And I have said that how could he possibly win? Because what would happen is he would split the Republican vote.
Right, he would do that.
And there'd be no way they would be able to beat any Democrat that way.
No, when you do that, other people have tried that. And, you know, you still have a two-party system here. The only thing is you have to get involved into the Republican Party. You know, you have to take it over, just like Ocasio-Cortez and her squad and everybody else took over the Democratic Party and turned them over that way to the far, far left. And the only way you could take over the Republican Party is you have to get rid of the lifers that are in there. You know, you have to primary them and get rid of them so that you can get some new blood in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Donald Trump never had the full backing of the Republican Party. I mean, all the people that he had,
he was an outsider.
The Bush administration and
sure.
Everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, they were loyal to the Bush family, to all the other families that have been involved in the Republican Party for decades.
But you can understand that. Donald Trump was not necessarily a Republican. He had been considered a Democrat for a while. Plus, he comes in with a rather populist philosophy. So
right.
He enters the Republican primaries, and he wins, much to the chagrin and surprise of a lot of Republicans. So it took a little while to accept him. But let's be honest, they basically did. They all settled down. There's a handful that didn't. But for the vast majority of Republicans got behind him.
Well, the thing is, he connected to the American people. He connected to the Republican base.
Right.
And then he also connected to those that were undecided about him the last 4 years when he got garnered 74. What did he get, 10 or 11 more million votes than last time?
Yeah. And remember, he pulled in a lot of blue-collar Democrats when he won the first time as well, as we know.
Right. And he garnered more as the Democratic Party moved way left and became more elitist, and the Republicans, under the populist, you know, program that he had, got to be more towards the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to connect. And these people that they were just so bitter against him, the never-Trumpers, like that girl's husband there, Conway.
Oh, Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne
who was
Conway.
His spokesman.
Her husband was one of the guys that formed the Lincoln Project. Never-Trumpers.
Kellyanne Conway's husband hated Donald Trump. I don't know how Kellyanne and her husband could possibly get along at night.
Right, and then why did these 10, you know, if they listened to Trump's speech, he never incited a riot. In fact, didn't the FBI kind of say, oh, Trump didn't have anything to do with inciting the riot and anything like that on Capitol Hill?
Well, now they're talking about the fact that it might have been pre-planned anyway. So,
it was pre-planned.
The words of Trump didn't have anything to do with an insurrection. No, I don't think so.
No. And nobody puts that on, you know, the news naturally isn't going to tell you that. And nobody else is saying it. And they just keep blowing smoke up the American people saying that he did this, he did that.
However, Angelo, we do know that, you know, he was going on ever since the election saying that it was fraudulent. And
I think 74 million Americans believe that election was fraudulent.
Right. And
I mean, if you take a look at what the Democrats did from 2018 when they were circumventing the state houses about doing the votes, the mail-in votes, weaponizing the coronavirus, you can't tell me it's a fair game.
Right.
I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge if you want, you know.
There's no question about it. But you can incite people's emotions when you say, by the way, we really won the election and we won it big, which is what
he was saying.
So a lot of people could have come to that Capitol Hill speech already kind of primed, as you know, can imagine, because of what he had been saying. And he did, but I don't think that's an insurrectable comment.
He's not inciting.
Comment. Right.
All he's saying is, well, we won big. You know, this and that.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It's not that he said, hey, go over and take over the Capitol.
Right.
Assassinate, like they said, they wanted to assassinate the vice president. Assassinated. He never said those words.
Correct.
Never. And these people are pushing that, saying that this is what he implied that. This is what he implied. You know?
Just yes,
like
I do.
Bill Clinton said, I never had sex with that girl. You know? Play on words.
That's correct. Let me turn to another topic.
Mm-hmm.
The coronavirus situation. Have you gotten a vaccine shot yet?
Not yet. I guess it's 75 and older right now that they're vaccinating. Now they send everybody 65 and over. And I was at the Veterans Administration last Thursday. I had to go see the cardiologist. And I asked them over there, you know, what am I due to get the shot? And they said, well, you're on the list, you know, but we don't have all the vaccines yet. You know, a friend of mine, he and his wife, they made it an appointment, I guess. You have to do that.
Yeah.
And they're scheduled for April the 14th, like 14 weeks away.
Now, this is up in Rochester.
This is up in Rochester.
New York, the whole situation right now with the distribution of the vaccine in New York, a lot of people are blaming Governor Cuomo. Are you blaming him to some extent at all for way it's being distributed?
He's not doing it right. You know, I don't know why they just don't give it to everybody. You know, set up these places, you know, and they set up these food banks where people drive up in their car to go get food. Do that for the inoculation. Just, you know, have certain areas and people wait in their car, or you have walk-in place and you have people in their car. Just do that.
That would make sense.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, when it comes to the government, they never make sense, you know. Leave it to the government to screw things up.
I would almost suggest that we keep the government out of the distribution program, allow those drug companies to stay in the free market and figure out the best way, because they want their product used and distributed. And
well, I guess you have to keep that the vaccine cold, you know?
Yes.
I don't know how, you know, like, they're talking about pharmacies distributing it, this and that. How are you going to do this if you have to keep that vaccine cold?
They have to, you have to make the transfer from cold trucks, I guess, right into a refrigerated environment there. I don't know. I mean, that is indeed a problem.
That the logistics to do it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
To vaccinate 330 million people.
Oh, it is. Exactly. That's almost why I'm saying it should stay out of the hands of the government. Because if you work with the companies that are going to distribute, in other words, if you take the companies that create these drug companies and allow them to directly work with the companies that distribute, the Walgreens, the CVS pharmacies, the doctor's offices, the hospitals, allow them to do their magic together that way, I think we'd get it out sooner, to the people. I wonder. Let's get the governors out of there.
Well, the governors are, you know, and then speak about another thing. Now they want to open up the country because Biden is going to be the president. You notice that, Paul?
You talk about the immigration, yeah.
No, right. I'm talking about the governors. Now they want to open up their states. Goofy Cuomo.
They want to allow businesses to reopen. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Aha, yes. In other words, they were waiting for Biden to become president. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, don't you see how they're doing it? I mean, now they want to open up, like Goofy Cuomo here goes, it's time for New York State to reopen. We got to get these businesses going. On the other side of his mouth, he was saying, oh, we got to close this here, you know?
Yeah, well, I think they're starting to realize, too.
I mean, if the American people can't see what has happened, these states, these governors ruined the economy, ruined people's lives. For what? To destroy a president so that they could take over this country. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, I'm thinking about it myself. You might make sense. Some of these blue state governors that were shutting everything down, all of a sudden they've gotten religion, and now all of a sudden they're saying, you know what? We got to start opening things up.
And then Biden, on day one, is going to start a path for over, I think there's more than what they say, that 11 million people, illegals or daydreamers, whatever you want to call them.
Daydreamers, yes. I like
that
daydreamers.
They want to become citizens of the United States. He's going to open the floodgates. You got people in South America pushing to come to America now.
In Honduras
What's
in particular.
What's going to do? He wants to,
Central America.
He wants to give another $1,400 more checks. I'm sure there's people that really need it out there because they really ruined this country that need the money. And you got Ocasio-Cortez saying that you need more people and she wants to guarantee people an income even if they don't want to work. So she's pushing him for that. You got he wants to do away with a lot of the tax cuts that President Trump did. So we're going to be seeing a lot of stuff on day one happening.
Yeah. Angelo, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I want you to stay well, stay healthy. Thank you very much for giving us a call in this morning.
I appreciate it. My brother, I guess, is taking...
he's doing a mission of mercy, actually, yeah.
He's doing a mission of mercy, yeah.
He is indeed. He's a good guy that way, and so we're absolutely delighted to be able to talk with you one-on-one. But we'll
appreciate it.
Of course, and I hope we'll be talking with you again next week, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I will, definitely.
All right. Good enough. Thanks very much.
Take care. Stay safe.
All right, buddy. Angelo Ceresi. All right, we're going
to
take...
Paul, with regards to Governor Cuomo.
Yeah.
Remember about a month ago, he said tighter restrictions for New York because the numbers are just so bad?
Yeah.
That's when they were averaging about 12,000 cases. 2 days ago, he said they were going to open up the state again. Their cases 2 days ago, 19,489.
Yeah, it's getting worse, not better. And now he's going to say they're going to open up.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden.
No, it does. I'm thinking about this. I think that Angelo might be making some sense. There might indeed be some method to that. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to give you the top 10 oldest Super Bowl quarterbacks.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Edward, those singers, is that the 10 Republicans that are against Trump? They kind of got together to sing that. All right. Very good. A migrant caravan moving from Honduras toward the U.S. border has called on the Biden administration to honor their commitment to the migrants moving north. But yesterday, a transition official for Biden said that the migrants hoping to claim asylum in America during the first few weeks of Joe's administration, quote, need to understand they're not going to be able to come into the United States immediately. So they're holding back a little bit. I wonder how long they will. But that Honduran group, that caravan, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be like a snowball rolling downhill. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as it wends its way towards the southern border of the United States. No question about that. I wonder what we're going to have. Are we going to have another huge confrontation, you know, right at that border with all of the people, and then we're going to have the cameras on this? And what's Biden going to do? Is he going to open the gates and let them all pour in? We can't do that. Even his own people would say that's not the right thing, you know?
Think of all the ones who are going to want to come here when our minimum wage goes to $15 an hour.
And that's another thing he wants to do. He wants to have the federal government raise our minimum wage to $15, which means all of the other places will start kicking up their amounts, which means we're going to have increased prices of our products.
Mm-hmm.
That's what always happens. You're right. I don't know why we can't ever figure out. We don't want the federal government sticking its big nose into all of this stuff because it doesn't work well. Ah, well. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, I watched a very exciting game last night between the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was supposed to be this matchup between Drew Brees and Tom Brady. I didn't think Brees looked that good. I thought Brady looked pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, I saw it. I said very early in the game to some of my friends, I said, Brees looks like the guy that's afraid to lose this game and be the last game of his career. He just had that worried look the entire time. And I remember the week before with the Bears had a good defense to beat them. They just couldn't get their offense going.
No, they didn't have an offense.
And really, that game should have been a blowout yesterday with the Bucs scoring is much more because they missed a lot of opportunities. So I don't think it was even that close.
I got the impression that can Drew Brees throw downfield anymore with his arm?
Yeah, He can, but he's
your old buddy got in there made the longest pass.
I said when he did that, I'm a. It can't end this way. It can't.
Wouldn't that have been funny?
No, it would not have been funny.
Well, it was very interesting. And on to the championship game with Kansas City. What about
no? The Bucks.
What
move
am
on.
I saying?
They go to the
Green
Packers.
Bay. Green yeah. Bay Packers. I got the reason I got Kansas City on my mind. Of course, the Packers is whether or not. Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, is going to be. He got knocked on his keister. Yeah. He had a concussion. Do you think?
Yeah, he was loopy.
Do you think he'll be ready for next game?
You know, people say, oh, it's a concussion. He'll be back. You know, we had an offensive lineman who was out for 3 weeks because of a concussion.
That's what I'm wondering.
There's a protocol you have to go through, and if you don't pass it, they are very strict about it. The NFL doesn't run that part. The doctors do.
Yeah.
So they can't,
Interesting, right? You are. All right. We'll transition right into our top 10. The top 10 oldest Super Bowl quarterbacks, Ed. Here we go. Number 10. It was Bart Starr. And he was 34 years old when he did Super Bowl II. Number 9. Jim Plunkett. He was 36 years old in Super Bowl 18, and he played for the Raiders. Number 8, Roger Staubach with the Dallas Cowboys. He was 36 years old and 11 months. He was almost 37. Number 7, you remember Fran Tarkenton?
Yes.
Yeah, Minnesota Vikings. He was 36 years, 11 months, and 6 days old in Super Bowl 11 in 1977. Number 6, you remember Rich Gannon of the Oakland Raiders?
Mm-hmm.
He was 37 and 1 month in Super Bowl 37. Number 5, Kurt Warner, Arizona Cardinals, 1971, 37 years old and 7 months. All right, number 4. I remember this guy, Ed. I don't think you do, but I don't remember him too well because I was, believe it or not, very young, but Johnny Unitas, he played for the Baltimore Colts. He was 37 years, 8 months, and 10 days old in 1971 in Super Bowl V. Do you remember the name Johnny Unitas?
Oh, sorry about that.
Number 3 is John Elway, Denver, and he was 38, 7 months. All right, number 2, Peyton Manning. Denver Broncos, 39 years and 10 months. He almost made 40 on that one.
That was a spring chicken compared to yesterday's game.
I'll tell you. All right, Ed, real quickly, who do you think is, I know you know, but who do you think is number one, oldest?
That guy that played yesterday. I'm going to say Drew Brees.
Not Drew Brees.
No. Tom Brady.
Indeed, you're right. It is Tom Brady. 41 years, and we don't count because he hasn't reached it yet, but if he reaches it this year, he'll be 43. But he was 41 and 6 months when they played the New England Patriots in February of 2019. And I'll tell you what, he looks a lot younger than Drew Brees
did.
Didn't he? In fact, he doesn't look anywhere close to 43. I would have guessed the guy was in his 30s, but the 43, holy cow.
You can tell that was Drew Brees' last game.
Yes, it might be, sadly.
It was.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We're going to be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Thank you for joining us. Remember, never forget, freedom works. Pick up a monkey, start to go. The sun was spinning fire. The sky was blue as ice. I felt a little tight, so I watched Miami.